right, let's turn on our Bibles to the book of Amos tonight. If you think of Amos, he's a minor prophet, which means he's after all them big prophets. After Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, and then you'll start getting into them little prophets. And Amos is a great prophet. Tonight is going to talk about something that doesn't make any sense. It seems like in the country that we live in, we don't really think of a famine in America. As I was talking with, I think, Bert and Kevin, and they talk about just one of those grain carts, 75,000 pounds of corn, just one. And they're just going nonstop, and that's just one farm. That is a lot of corn. I can't imagine how many millions of pounds are sitting in just those silos around here. So it's hard to imagine us in this area where we live at, that there actually could be a famine. But do you know, according to God's word, we are starving to death. It's not a famine of food, but it's a famine of the word of God. And a famine is almost unknown in America. Some are old enough to probably remember short times, short groceries, but there was food. We weren't going days and days and days without food. We weren't going a week without a piece of bread. You know, there are countries that have that today. That's not the famine that I'm talking about. You see, we have been blessed as a nation. We have been blessed beyond description. We are the envy of the known world. Our enemies envious. Our friends envious. They just look at us and we're just a breadbasket. They look and say, look at all they have. How could it possibly be that they be so blessed? We are the envy of the world, but you know those conditions can change. When you consider just in the Bible, in the days of Joseph and 7 years of famine, it took everything before that and consumed it in 7 years. I mean, the nation went from fruitful, the most powerful military, the most powerful economically in the world, to they were the only ones with food and they were running out. Imagine that famine could happen again. If God had not sent a man to save the nation of Egypt, there would be no Egypt, probably be no world as we know it. That man of God went there, and because of the man of God was patient and did what God told him to do, he through his preparation, he saved the known world. And I wonder, are you prepared tonight? Not with food or money, but are you prepared with the Word of God? When Psalms 119 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." Do we have enough Word of God hid in our heart tonight that if somebody were to come into your house and confiscate every Bible that you own, do you have enough Word of God hid in your heart to teach your children and your grandchildren? Do you know enough to teach your kids how to be saved, your grandchildren, how to teach them how to teach their children for generations if you were to lose your Bible? Because the day's coming, you could lose your Bible. See, the famine of this text is different. Let's look there in chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Now, I believe God's Word and I believe every jot and tittle of it's true. I believe it's as applicable today as it was in Amos' day. And I believe when Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, that's what God's Word means. So if it happened in Amos' day, guess what? It's happening in our day. And you can just, as Pastor was sharing this year, the pedal is on or the pedal is off, but something's happening. Look at verse 11. God's Word says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Now, how is that possible? I can't even imagine it today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, as we look at the Word of God tonight, Lord, that we would see just how important it is and we would treasure what we have and the freedom that we have, Lord, I pray. Treasure the Word of God. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen. See, this famine is of the Word of God. Today, the average American home, and I'm talking about every variation and perversion of what we call a Bible, but the average American home, and this again is not counting those who have nothing, who claim agnostics or whatever, has an average of 4 to 5 Bibles in every home. How could we have a famine of the Word of God? How could we have that? We are accustomed to such an abundance of Bibles. How could we even think and imagine a United States of America without a Bible? But listen, we think because we have a church on every corner that we have abundance of the gospel. But we have abundance of buildings, but not necessarily an abundance of churches. It is not an abundance. One, there's many dusty Bibles. Famine will come through indifference. This famine that Amos is talking about, say, it couldn't happen in America. Listen, the average person claiming Christ is not soul conscious, to our shame. We are not soul conscious. The average Christian does not freely give what was freely given to them, the gospel. Few churches in America today are growing by evangelism, sad to say. Most churches in America are growing by programs and charismatic men, but not by evangelism and the Word of God. Amen. Most Christians do not take Christ to their workplace or their play place, but He stays home on their shelf. And there is little or no memorization. I wouldn't want to embarrass myself to say when the last time I memorized the verse was. A survey and American Bible Society is what it is, and I don't agree with them on their stand, but they did a survey. 1 in 5 read their Bible regularly in America. 1 in 5, that's 20%. I wonder if 1 in 5 Americans ate this week. Did we eat? We ate, didn't we? We fed our body, but we did not feed. 1 in 5 fed their soul, fed their spirit. 1 in 5. 77, now get this. 77, whether you're an atheist, agnostic, claiming Christian, Buddhist, whatever you are, 77% of Americans believe that America is in moral decline. Amen? I don't think anybody disagrees with that. We're in moral decline no matter who becomes president. The 77 agree to that, but only 20% even cracked a Bible. 57% of the younger generation, I'd say that's my age. I mean, okay, maybe a little younger than me. 57% of the younger generation have read their Bible 3 times in a year. Now, if you can eat 3 times in a year, you're a Superman, something. So I want us to look tonight, what would it mean to have a famine of the Word of God in America? There's countries around the world that would kill to have this page of the Bible, much less have this whole thing sitting in front of them, and I guarantee you they wouldn't go without cracking it. So what does it mean to have a famine of the Word of God? Number one, a famine of the Word of God means a nation without freedom. A nation without freedom. Now we say we're a free nation. But John said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He went on to say, thy word is truth. So if the word is truth and the truth is what makes me free, if I don't have the Bible and I'm not sharing the Bible, then I don't have freedom. Horace Greeley, he said it's impossible to enslave a Bible reading people. How many want to be slaves? None of us do. This man says it's impossible. Why? And I'll get on to that. No wonder that the tyrants of the world hate the Bible. Because they try to extinguish its existence. I read an article the other day where 80 North Koreans were hung for professing Christ. Professing Christ. They probably didn't even have a word of God. They just had somebody tell them about it. Somebody had hid it in their heart. See, a nation without freedom, as history reveals, that the Bible brings freedom. Wherever the Bible goes, freedom follows. You know where the Bible's going now? The Bible's going into Red China. They're going to be more free than we are if God waits 100 years. Because we're burning our Bibles and throwing our Bibles out of government and school and churches. And wherever the Bible goes, it brings freedom. History of our founding of our nation as we go into an election year. Those fleeing religious persecution brought the Bible with them. They didn't bring the Quran. They brought the Holy Bible. They were being burnt at the stake. I don't have time all to go through all of these. They were being burnt at the stake for possessing a Bible. Listen, you think I'm talking about religious tyrants? I'm talking about political tyrants. I'm talking about religious tyrants. Religious tyrants hate the Word of God because it frees you. It brings freedom. They hate it. They believe, I can't remember which Grand Poopah said it, but he says that the common man is unable to understand the Word of God correctly and needs another sinful man to interpret it for him. You see, some of these, it goes way back to the Donatists, the Albigenses, the Waldenses. They were burnt at the stake. Peter Bruce, burnt at the stake. Arnold of Brescia, preaching the Bible, was hanged and burnt at the stake. Not by Caesar, by religious tyrants of Rome. 1211, 80 Waldenses burnt at the stake. 1215, 80 Christians tried by red hot iron and burned to death the same day in Germany. 1237, 15 Christians burned alive in Spain. Burnt at the stake. 50 women and children burnt at the stake. Christmas Eve, the Inquisitor Borelli attacked this village and left hundreds to freeze to death outside the village. Oh, how about Wycliffe trying to get us the gospel in? You see some of their names up here probably in a minute. Wycliffe trying to get the Bible into the English-speaking people's hands. When his follower, William Sawtree, burned at the stake for helping him. His tailor was roasted alive in a barrel for being the tailor of John Wycliffe. John Huss burned in 1415 for preaching the gospel and rejecting Rome's views. 1416, 300 burnt at the stake. You see, kind of see a thing here? John Purvey killed for Bible distribution. Folks, I'm not talking about by political tyrants. I'm talking about by religious tyrants. James Brewster burned at the stake for having a book of Scripture in his possession. Gospel preacher burned at the stake in Strasbourg for preaching and having a Bible in his possession. Wait, now, we're already past Columbus. I mean, 1528, Patrick Hamilton burned at the stake in Scotland for declaring the right of the people to read the Word of God on their own. Burnt at the stake. Can you imagine? It's pretty gruesome, isn't it? I mean, some of these I probably won't expound on because it would make you sick to your stomach. Let me skip down William Tyndale. You'll see his name up here. Burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English. His translation became the groundwork for the King James Bible. Anne Boleyn, wife of King Henry VIII, was beheaded for converting. We could go on and on, and some of these are terrible. Let me just skip through here. Folks, if you don't believe me, go look at Vox Book of Martyrs. You'll see thousands just like this. This is only just a very brief. Bartholomew Hector preaching the Bible and Bible distribution burnt at the stake. Julian Hernandez burnt at the stake for Bible distribution. We're talking 1861, 88 men's throats were slit for possessing a Bible. I will skip the next few because they're very, very, very disgusting. 1861, a man, Daniel Ravelli, his mouth was filled with gunpowder, and you can guess what they did for preaching the Word of God. Folks, I'm telling you, this may be very descriptive, but I want you to remember these people. You want a copy, I'll get it to you. These people died like this so that you and I could have what brought us freedom, the Word of God, the King James Bible. You see, development of this nation was based upon this book. When I said that a nation without the Word of God is a nation without freedom, our nation, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence was based upon the foundation of this book. I've heard all the liberals in the world say, those documents do not say the word God. They do not say anything about the Bible. They're ignorant. I'm sorry, but that's just the only thing I can say. Our founding fathers were not only Bible readers, but they had a faith in the God of this book, and they based their decisions upon this book. They learned how to read from this book. Your great-grandfather probably didn't learn how to read unless he learned how to read from this book. McGuffey readers didn't come before them was the Bible. And by the way, McGuffey readers used the King James Bible. Churches have always been guardians of freedom and patriotism. And they got it from the Bible. You see, solid Bible reading alerts us to the value of freedom. Bible reading people keep freedom alive in their daily life. The Bible reading people teach values of life and freedom, the opposite of euthanasia and abortion and genocide and racism. Those things are not taught in our Bible. Those who read their Bible are the ones that will keep that from coming into our politics, keep coming in coming into our churches. Number one, what would a famine of the Word of God look like? It'd look like a nation without freedom. But number two, it would look like a nation without a foundation. You see, Matthew talked about the wise man building his house upon the rock and the foolish man building his house upon the sand. I'm telling you, Paul said, for our foundation, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in John 1:1 was the Word. And the Word was God. And He's our foundation. Without our foundation, as a nation, we have nothing to stand upon but slippery slopes and sand. Without a Bible, there's no Christ. And there is no foundation. And the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it, they that labor in vain that build it. Listen, if we want a nation that God would bless, we got to have a nation based upon the Word of God. Not on some Word of God, but on the Word of God, the King James Bible. A life or land built on the Bible will stand, and this nation has proven it. And until we start eroding away the very Word of God is when we started seeing some of our freedoms erode along with it. God's Word is our only sound foundation that we can stand on and we can be. It has withstood the storms. There's no reason in the world this country should have ever won the Revolutionary War against the greatest world power and a bunch of farmers with muskets. And we didn't have no navy and no tanks, no artillery. And we won. You know why? Because God was on our side. Why we want God on our side? You better want God on your side. Apart from God's Word, there's no absolutes. That's where we are at today in our nation. Everything has become relative. It's called situational ethics. There's just no right and there's just no wrong. Don't tell poor Johnny 2 plus 2 isn't 5. You might hurt poor Johnny's feelings. Listen, this crazy thing about, let's give all of them a trophy. We gotta learn. Not everybody is a winner in life. Not everybody wins every single time. Not everybody gets the same thing for doing not the same thing. Hello, that's the government that we're in today. Let's just spread it around. That's not biblical. There's no right or wrong. Nothing legal or illegal. Or what is legal and illegal is determined by an opinion poll. How about that? I thought we were called a republic. Because a republic is ruled by laws, and we have laws. We just don't enforce them equally. Those laws are based on the Word of God. And we have laws. We're not a pure democracy. A pure democracy is nothing but a mob. Whoever's in the majority. Boy, I'm telling you what, we are in the minority. You better hope it's not majority rules. Because as Christians, we're going to be like these gentlemen and these ladies were. We better hope that the law rules, the law of God. Churches across America, though, are conducting themselves the exact same way. The exact same way as our society is. Churches around America are being tolerant of what the world is tolerant of, rather than what God is tolerant of. But my Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, not try to blend in. You don't have to separate from the world. If you're living a godly Christian life and you're keeping this as your sole creed, they'll separate from you. You don't have to separate from them. Man, I tell you, when I started trying to live for God, I didn't have to separate from my friends. They scattered like cockroaches along with some family members. But listen, we are not like the world, regardless if we're in the minority. Homosexuality and immorality and toleration of sin, even among the very clergy that claim to be teaching and preaching the Word of God, has become tolerant. Well, I know the Bible says that, but it just doesn't apply to me today. Listen, if this Bible does not apply to you, every jot and tittle from the beginning to the end, then we are wasting our time. We might as well go home. And you know what? That's exactly what a lot of people have done. Because they come to church and they don't hear the Word of God preached. And many of the churches around the country today, they hear this warm, fuzzy hogwash that you couldn't get saved listening to. And they say, what do I need that for? I can go home and watch football instead of breaking their heart and realizing they're in sin, or breaking their heart and realizing they need a Savior. And I mean, hell is hot. It hasn't cooled off one bit since Luke 16. How come we quit telling people about how hot hell is and how they're going there without a Savior? A nation without this is the without a Bible. Listen, the Bible is a moral compass. I would a whole lot rather this determine my grandchildren's future than Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, either one. This should be our nation's moral compass. Without a compass, how do you know what direction you're going? This tells me what direction I'm going. I'm either going contrary to it or I'm following it. It's only one way or the other. It is a moral compass for individuals. It is a moral compass for a church and for a nation. My job in the military is the forward observer. If I ignored my compass and just called any old direction that felt right or sounded right, somebody friendly was going to die. I had to trust my compass. If I didn't trust my compass, I went and found somebody else's compass. I couldn't call for fire. I couldn't help those in need. Because that compass could either kill them or save them. If that compass says north is a different direction, every time I look at it, I wouldn't trust it. I've seen compasses do that. You stand here, you shake it a little bit, and it just keeps on changing. Whatever direction you shake it a little bit, it'll show you whatever direction you want it to be. I'm telling you what, that come out of somebody's cereal box. And so did some of the Bibles that people are using for a moral compass. Those little kid compasses, some of them are more, tell you more direction than some of the Bibles out there today. We need to stand on the Word of God, and we need a nation that stands on a compass that is moral, and it's our Bible. And we need to get back to it. To neglect the Bible, to neglect our Bible is to starve our soul. It's a willing famine. Amos said it is coming. A willing famine. A hunger strike. Does that make any sense? That's the most senseless death I ever heard of. But let me tell you what. If you starve yourself spiritually and of your moral compass, it has the same result as if you don't eat for a week. You starve to death. It's the death of an individual, death of a nation. Number three. The famine of the Word of God will look like in a nation without a Bible is a nation without faith. I am afraid to say that we're getting to that point in our nation today. I mean a true biblical, scriptural faith. Romans says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith comes by the Word of God. My faith doesn't come by a politician. My faith is not in a politician. My faith is in God and in the Word of God. And if you're putting your faith in anybody else, myself included, I'll let you down. But God's Word is true, every jot and tittle. And it will. The Bible says that it's established in heaven and will be there for eternity. And it's not only in heaven. What kind of God? I hear these people say, well, the originals. Show me the original. Well, we're trying to get closer to the originals. What are you basing that off of? You got the originals to try to get closer to them? Paul didn't even have the originals. And what did he have? He had a copy that God preserved for you and I. A nation without the Bible is a nation without faith. Paul describes this nation. I'm going to look there very quickly. I know we're short on time, and I'll just read it to you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Does that not sound... Well, you'd think you were reading the newspaper today, wouldn't you? You tell me the Bible's not applicable today. That's exactly what men are doing. They're going around to establish their own righteousness, their own holiness. They have a zeal, Paul said, but no knowledge of Christ. There's people, I got a zeal. Listen, these guys right here said they were doing it in the name of God. Burning Christians at the stake. Disemboweling Christians. Blowing their heads off. In the name of God? That's a zeal. It is a zeal, but it's no knowledge. Paul said, you have a zeal, but no knowledge. We have a world that has a zeal for religion when they can walk into a marketplace of men, women, and children and strap a bomb to themselves and kill themselves and everybody around them. What? They have a zeal. They did it in the name of Allah, the moon god. But that's not the God of my Bible. That's a zeal, but that's no knowledge of Christ. What we need is zeal and a knowledge of Christ, and it only comes through Scripture, and not just being religious. You see, many people say they're holy. I mean, they're godly. Live a godly life, but they're not holy. Listen, you can't live a godly life without holiness. Holiness is a necessity for godliness. Holiness is what takes place on the inside when I'm regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and made a child of God and washed white as snow. And now I'm a child of God. That's holiness of God. And the product of that is godliness. Somebody that says that they're godly without holiness is lost as a goose. I'm sorry. The Lord said, be ye holy for I am holy. You know, if we just had that much scripture, just that much scripture. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God talking to us. That would be enough. Let me look at one more scripture real quick. I know I'm trying to hurry. I can remember where Hosea is at. There he is. Hosea chapter 4. In verse 1. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Now, do you think the Lord's changed since Israel's day? Malachi said, I am the Lord, I change not, so God hasn't changed since Israel's day. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And our God has not changed. And our God has a problem with us. How can God not judge us? God hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no, what? I am the way, the truth. Because there's no truth, there's no mercy, nor knowledge. We've read all those verses in Romans too. There's none of that in the land. Therefore, God's judgment's coming. Verse 6 says, my people are destroyed. Listen what he said here now. I would take this as to you and me, Christians, in a good Bible-believing Baptist church. You better beware. My people are destroyed. My people, not lost, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge. Not that they didn't have knowledge, because they rejected knowledge. Not that we don't have the Word of God, 4 to 5 of them in every household in America. 4 to 5 Word of God in the household of America. It's not that we don't have the Word of God. But God has a problem with us because we've rejected the Word of God. How else can you explain what you see on the news today? How else can you explain what you see in politics today? Willfully ignorant, rejecting God's word because it doesn't say what I want it to say. Most will rewrite it and write the scripture to fit their lifestyle. And why else is there a new version every single year? A new version written every single year when I have the perfect, infallible, inerrant word of God in my hand. Why do I need another one? It's on a 3rd to 5th grade reading level. If you can't read that well, get with me. We'll work on it. We don't need another Bible. We got the Word of God. So why would we write all these other versions? One, it's a little thing in the front called the copyright. It's money. The other thing is we have a devil, and he is real, and he's changing the Word of God, and he has only, you don't have, you, what you have to do to get a copyright change? About 5 to 50,000 changes. You know, you got to change some doctrine to do that. You can't have, keep, leave the doctrine. Somebody said today, well, I kind of like the New King James. Well, you kind of like a different Bible than mine, because the New King James is not even written off the same manuscripts as the King James Bible. It's written off the same Alexandrian manuscripts as every other version that's ever been written. And those deny the deity of Jesus Christ. I'll show you if you have a question. Well, where do we have a famine? The famine of the Word of God is God's people become ignorant of God's Word and of God's righteousness in order to establish their own righteousness. That's what Romans said. The men are going about trying to create their own righteousness. Listen, you know what my righteousness says? According to the Bible, according to Isaiah, my righteousness is filthy rags. There's not one good thing in this heart. It's despicable. The only good thing about me is Jesus Christ is my Savior. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, there ain't one good thing about you. You need to get saved. See, the Bible imparts those seeds of faith. As I said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. Neglecting the Bible is a voluntary famine. Who ever heard of such a thing? Can you imagine in a nation that we have, the breadbasket of the world, and if all of us were sitting here starving to death physically, starving to death, living right here where they produce it, all the beef and pork and grains of the world, enough to feed the whole world. If we sat here tonight and were starving to death, that would be the silliest, I'm sorry, the stupidest thing I could imagine. But we are sitting right here in the breadbasket of America and starving from this. And let me tell you, you could put me in chains, and you can starve me to death in prison, but I've hid enough of this Word in my heart that I will never starve to death for the Word of God. I'm telling you, we need to bury ourselves in the Word of God, not neglect it. A nation's wealth, remember this year, the wealth of a nation is not found in their stock market. It's not found in their banks. It's found in their faith. And America is going bankrupt. I want to close the night. Are you hungry? Do you devour the Word of God when it's readily available? I mean, bury yourself in it. And I'll close with this illustration. I had a young boy lived in my house for a short amount of time. I didn't know what it was like to be hungry. I thought I did. But I never seen a bird pick a set of bones as clean as this kid could clean a chicken bone. I mean, he ate the cartilage. There was nothing left on his plate but a skinny bone, and there wasn't nothing left on it. Not fat, not gristle. He ate it all. You know why? Because he didn't know when he was going to get his next meal. I wonder if that's how we read the Word of God. Oh, I want every... Well, I don't want to miss nothing. I don't want to miss out on any of it. Bible teaching and Bible preaching, we ought to devour it. And then we ought to share the Scripture. Because if we're not sharing the Scripture, we have a national famine going on. Turn on the news. Watch a debate, for crying out loud, when a man calls himself a Christian and stands for partial birth abortion. What do we have? We have a national famine going on. But I want to close with this. It's not all doom and gloom, because we hold the breadbasket right here in our hand. We hold the answer to the famine that Amos is talking about right here. All the answers of the nation's woes are right there. All of Dumas's woes, right there. Bible Baptist Church, your personal problems, right there. You could go to the refrigerator and eat, or you can sit on your couch with a full refrigerator and starve to death. Now that would be goofy, wouldn't it? You can sit on your couch and cry, woe is me, with a dusty Bible on the shelf, or you can go open the Word of God and get with a man of God and get something that can help you through the famine. Let's stand and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. And God, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for a Bible we can trust. Lord, I pray for our nation. Our nation is starving to death for the Word of God, and then we have it sitting right in front of us. The devil's getting in and trying to pervert it and corrupt it through churches and through different Bibles. But Lord, we have the nourishing Word of God right in front of us. Help us to hide it in our heart that we might share it with others when the time is needed. Help us to take it with us wherever we go, that we might share with those that are starving at our workplace, our school, our neighborhood, that are starving because they don't have the Word of God. If they die of hunger physically, that does not matter. But if they die spiritually without knowing you, Lord, what a tragedy, knowing that the Word of God was available right around the block. Help us, Lord, to be sharing the Word of God. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for letting me be born in this greatest nation in the world. Now, thank you for letting me be born in a Christian home with a godly parents that took me to church. But Lord, I know there's many that don't have that luxury. Many need a Christian to take the Word of God to them. We're spoiled because of how easy it's been for us, but some it's not so. Help us to share the Word of God and not hoard it, Lord, like we're the only ones that deserve it. Thank you again. Thank you for these people and their faithfulness being here tonight. What a great crowd tonight on a Wednesday night. Thank you for them believing that there's something important about being in your house and hearing your Word when those doors are open. Thank you for these people. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Don't forget to get some of these.